Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like, yeah. Hello, welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday, and I wanted to focus today's show on the Los Angeles Lakers, because during a normal season, this would be the day that we would talk to the players at the practice facility, talk to the coaches, talk to the GM, talk about what this team has to do as they go into the summer. The Lakers decided not to do that, but they decided to make all their players and coaches available following the team's final game of the season, when they were eliminated by the Denver Nuggets following game five. Very unusual. So we basically have to kind of parse and kind of try to figure out what this team is going to do, which is hard to do coming off a tough loss. Again, the reason that teams generally give players and coaches a few days to kind of just, hop on the plane, go home, sleep in your own bed, and, have a couple of days to rethink before you talk to the media about what your plans are. Again, the Lakers did not do that. And again, I think this is part of the changing landscape of the media, where basically, players kind of do what they want, which is fine. But we have to get used to that. But the Lakers have a lot of big decisions coming up. Not only this summer, but really, this week and these next couple of weeks here, are they going to continue with Darvin Ham, with him as the head coach of this team? I don't think at this point, when you look at the way that this season played out and really the way that this first round series against Denver played out, it's not so much that they lost to Denver and that they lost to them in five and, what is generally considered a gentleman's sweep. It's how badly they were outplayed and outcoached in the second half of these games. When you look at that breakdown of the number of minutes in the series that the Lakers led, and that is something to, hang your hat on when you think about how close this team could be to contending. They led for the majority of that first round series. But at the end of the day, if you can't close out, at the end of the day, if you can't make second half adjustments, at the end of the day, if you can't beat the defending champions and advance, what are you doing? So the Lakers have a big decision to make as it pertains to Darvin Ham. But wanted to begin today in the first segment talking about LeBron James. He has the biggest decision to make. He will opt out of his contract, and not a surprise there. But what he decides to do, will he return to Los Angeles? Will he explore free agency? Will he go somewhere else? Does he want to play with Bronny James, who is a part of the draft? Again, a lot of questions there. So I want to play for you now some sound post-game from LeBron James, followed by Anthony Davis, and then I'll come back and kind of rehash what they said. So here is now LeBron James.
LeBron, how do you put a series like this into perspective, even this soon after it, and having it be this close, but they end up ultimately winning 4 out of 5?
First of all, you tip your hat to them. Defending champions, super, super great team. Super well coached, and you tip your hats. I mean, they made the plays down the stretch, you know, to win this series, and you know, so you get credit where credit is due. That's for sure.
Couldn't be any closer to when you just got off the floor. But have you given any initial thoughts of what comes next this summer for next season?
No, I just want to get home to the family. Honestly, start looking at the schedule. Obviously, I got you know, my son. One of my boys is just trying to decide if he's gonna, you know, enter the draft or go back to school. I got another kid that's playing AU ball right now. My daughter's playing volleyball. And my wife is doing so many great things. So it's about family right now. And then in a couple months, I got to go to Vegas for training camp. So, you know, I got to rest my body for USAB. But you know, that's kind of the initial thoughts.
LeBron, along those lines, if and when Bronny enters the NBA at some point, if you're still in the league, how much of a goal is it for you to play alongside him on the same team?
I don't know. I haven't given much thought lately. Obviously, I thought about it in the past, but at the end of the day, the kid has to do what he wants to do, and I don't even want to say kid no more. The young man will decide what he wants to do and how he wants his career to go. So, you know, I just think the fact that we're even having a conversation is pretty cool in the sense of that. You know, but we'll see what happens.
LeBron, respect to your answer to Mike. I'm just curious if you could give us some sense of the things that you'll weigh as you go towards the decision for year 22 or beyond, and just maybe a thought on how taxing it is to remain a professional basketball player at this level in year 21, age 39 years old.
I don't have an answer to your first question, to be honest. Haven't given it much thought. Obviously, at some point, I'll sit down with Rich, my agent, and sit down with my family and, you know, see what's best, you know, what's best for my career. So, you know, we'll cross that when we need to. How taxing is very taxing, mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. I mean, to be able to, you know, to just play this game alone and then to, you know, to try to play at a high level is very taxing. It's a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, and a lot of long hours. So, it's, you know, it's very taxing, but, you know, it's rewarding because you, I mean, if you love the game and you love the process and you love being great, then you don't mind, taking the tax on your body and your mental and your psyche and things of that nature that comes with it. So it's okay.
LeBron, with the way you guys finished the regular season and competing with the defending champions, the way that you guys did, does that give you or still any further confidence in this group if it stays together? Obviously, that includes you, but just this group as a whole?
No. Because we lost. I'm not a participation guy. We lost, and, you know, you move on and see how you can get better. But, you know, our season has been derailed all season with just, like, injuries and guys in and out. And, you know, I talked about it all year. He was around us all year. I said, it's hard to say who we are, what we can be, because we have yet to be whole. I think we was only probably whole maybe one or two times this year. And I know one of them was during the in-season tournament. We got whole, and we showed what we was capable of doing. But we was just hit with injuries after injuries after injuries, and you know, it was just hard to, you know, it's hard to come back from that.
Anthony, first of all, clearly you had been very consistently effective on both ends and offensively in a rhythm again. MPJ ran into the shoulder. Can you just describe kind of what happened when you had to leave the floor and then how it felt once you eventually got back?
Yeah, I guess it was like a little stinger. I just lost function, lost feeling from, like, you know, my neck all the way to my hand. And then, you know, I get back in the game and, you know, I get hit again by KCP. It just made it a little worse. But obviously knowing the importance of the game, you know, just try to get some feeling and stuff back in the hand, in the back with my trainer, and then just try to come back out there and just help the team get a win.
What's the level of frustration or for you in, about a missed opportunity about kind of that happening at that point and the control that you guys seem to have on it, and then to kind of battle back and see Denver hit a couple more big shots down the stretch? How do you square all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's frustrating. You know, we put ourselves in a position to win every game in this series. You know, then pull out some wins that we feel like we should have. But, you know, tonight, especially in the situation where, you know, I get hit in the shoulder, it's just tough. Just knowing, you know, obviously I was just in a, you know, rhythm offensively, but it's an important game. You know, you want to be out there, and it's, you know, I was just very limited with the shoulder. But still try to go out there and just, you know, leave it on the floor for my team. But it's definitely frustrating. Just kind of been our thing all year. You know, C-Wood, Vando, Gabe, you know, we're not making any excuses or anything like that. You know, Denver's a hell of a team. You know, defending champs. It's just tough, you know, just going out like that.
AD, we're used to seeing you with LeBron in this setting, so many playoff games over the years and so many accomplishments, and really it's hard to separate you from him in your time as a Laker. He has a big decision to make this summer. What's going to be your role in being a friend or a teammate as he goes through that process, and what do you think you guys could do together if he does, you know, come back to the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in this position numerous times in his career where he had to make a decision ultimately for himself and his family. And I'll be right there supporting whatever he decides to do. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, it's still fresh. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not even on his mind right now, but pretty sure he'll come talk to me. Tell me what's going on before he, you know, become public with the decision, just to keep me in the loop. But, yeah, I mean, obviously it's been, you know, a great five seasons with him. You know, if he do decide to come back, you know, obviously this isn't where we want to, you know, be. We want to be left at, you know, losing in the first round. You know, if he does, obviously our goal, come back and you know, be a championship contender. You know, stay healthy and give Laker Nation what they deserve. But he has a, you know, decision to make, and you know, when that time comes, he'll, you know, inform you guys.
AD, you played a career high 76 games in the regular season. Entering tonight, you were averaging 31 and 16, regular season career high in rebounds. Your shooting percentages were right at your career best numbers. What, if anything, do you feel like you proved or sort of reproved this season? And how much pride do you take in how many games you played and being able in year 12 to play career best?
Yeah, man, it's all to my trainers. You know, did a great job with me this summer. Making sure that I'm able to stay on the floor throughout the season, making sure I'm able to stay on the floor, even with little injuries, you know, able to play through them just because of all the work that we put in through the summer and through the season. So I take pride in that. I take pride being on the floor to help my team win. I feel like I did a good job of that this year, playing 76. but, yeah, man, it's all credit to them. You know, put a lot of work in the summer to be able to, you know, have my body go through, you know, the bumps and bruises and the ups and downs of a long and taxing season and and, you know, obviously going into the playoffs where it's a lot more physical and, you know, the minutes increase. So, you know, just the hard work from the summer through the regular season and then, you know, through the first round.
You guys went, I believe it was 19-6 with the, after the starting lineup, the last starting lineup change, close to regular season. Obviously, you guys just battled with the defending champions despite how the series ended. Did any of this, I guess, further instill confidence that if you guys are healthier and if you guys keep this group together, obviously that include LeBron and D'Lo, that you guys could get closer to competing for the ultimate goal that you guys strive for?
Yeah. You know, it's all about, you know, continuity. And like I said, a lot of our guys were, you know, out of the lineup. You know, really missed games. Gabe missed a lot of games. Vando missed, you know, a ton of games. Seawood. But, you know, I think we found some towards the end of the season with that lineup. Obviously, some guys in the locker room who has decisions to make. But, you know, I think the way you continue to compete for championships is kind of keeping the core, you know. I learned that just from, like, being in New Orleans, you know, my time out. I don't even know how many teammates I had. And it's tough. I mean, you look at a team like Denver, you know, Boston, Golden State, like all these teams who've done, you know, unbelievable things. You know, their core group has stayed together, and you add supporting cast around that and not make too many changes. But it's different when a lot of guys, you know, have a lot of player options and, you know, got to make decisions that's best for them and their family. So, you know, we'll see what happens over the course of the summer, what guys decide to do. But just watching and just knowing from experience the way you know, continue to compete for championships is keeping that core group together.
Anthony, at the end of the third quarter, when you went back to, I assume, the locker room, I'm guessing that's where the trainer was working with you to kind of get the shoulder right. What exactly did he do to, what did they do to kind of help you get loose there?
I couldn't even put it in terms, like, what they did is do what did their job. I couldn't, like, really explain it, like, kind of dig it into, like, my scapula and stuff like that to kind of relax the muscles and everything like that, the nerves and stuff. But, I mean, I just saw, obviously, you know, guys fighting and keeping the game close. You know, I just wanted to go back out there no matter what and try to help the team win.
Eddie, you talked about wanting the best for LeBron, but also keeping the core together for championships. When he makes that call to you, are you one to recruit him and try to convince him?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, we complement each other. We've done something special together. Good thing about it, I'm going to be with him all summer. So, have a lot of conversations and things like that, but he know how I feel about him. Like I said, he's been in this game a long time, you know, ending season 21, and he's been in this position a couple times to make these type of decisions. And, you know, if he kind of asks my opinion or whenever we talk about it, I'm obviously going to try to recruit him back. But, ultimately, you know, he's old enough where he's going to make a decision, whatever is best for him and his family, knowing that, you know, his time is limited in this league, you know, probably a couple more years left. You know, his goal is obviously to win. You know, I feel like we can do that here, but ultimately, this is how he feels and, you know, what he decides.
All right, that was LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's very rare to kind of think about the future immediately following your last game of the season. Again, the Lakers thought that they would win. They would move on to game six, go back to Denver for game seven, do the impossible, or at least do what has never been done in league history, coming back down from an 0-3 deficit, but did not. So a lot of people are trying to figure out what LeBron James is going to do, what he meant in his post-game press conference. Again, this is the time of year where LeBron James will take center stage, and he doesn't mind it. You know, he basically took to Twitter and saying a lot of people are, you know, talking about what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some time with my family. Again, there's no rush with LeBron, and he's not done playing. So, I mean, a year ago, he basically hinted at, I'm not for sure going to come back. I'm going to think about it. That wasn't even insinuated. There's no doubt he's going to play next season. The question is now, does he want to play with Bronny James? There's no doubt, by the way, from the number of people that I've talked to, that Bronny James will be in this draft and Bronny James will be selected in the first round. Does he go to the Los Angeles Lakers, who have the 17th pick in the draft? Does he get selected by another team that maybe wants to kind of have a Hail Mary in there and say, hey, LeBron, we got Bronny, come on over. The big thing that the Lakers have going for them, and the reason that I do think LeBron James will come back, is that nobody out there can pay LeBron what the Lakers can with regards to the cap. I mean, the Lakers can pay LeBron James more than $50 million per year. Now, of course, listen, LeBron can decide to do what he wants and decide to take a big pay cut. I mean, we're talking about a $40 million pay cut. If he goes to a team for, $2 million or $10 million or something along those lines. But, the question is, how badly does he want to play with his son, with Bronny? Again, he said, listen, he wants to share the court with his son. So that doesn't necessarily mean he wants to be teammates with him. He can go head-to-head with him. That would be an amazing game. That would be an amazing sight to see. But the Lakers do have a lot of questions. And I think LeBron is definitely the number one question, at least in my mind. But the one that we will probably get the answer to the quickest is the future of Darvin Ham. And we're going to dive into that when we come back. And we're going to hear from him post-game. But again, he is on the hot seat. There's no question about that. I personally don't think he should be back as the head coach of this team. I do think he lost these guys during the postseason. When you look at LeBron James yelling at Darvin Ham, challenge that play, call a timeout. So we're going to leave it there for now. When we come back, we will hear from Darvin Ham, but also talk about his future with the Los Angeles Lakers when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Best in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 716 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. As I mentioned in the first segment, we are diving deep into what happened to the Lakers this season and what they are going to do this offseason. The biggest question outside of what LeBron James is going to do is what the Lakers plan to do with their head coach. Darvin Ham is on the hot seat. I would be surprised if he makes it through the weekend and is back as the Lakers head coach. I mean, the big thing is they brought back a team that had gone to the Western Conference Finals a year ago. They have the talent on this team to compete. Are they better than Denver? No. They are good enough to have a better season than they had. Again, you have to remember the majority of this season, they were on the outside looking into the postseason. They were the 10 seed for the majority of the season. And again, they had to go through the play-in tournament just to make it into the playoffs. And again, once again this season, they finished strong. So give them that. But they faded late in these postseason games. When you look at the Denver Nuggets series a year ago, it played out very similarly. The one difference, of course, being that the Lakers actually won a game this postseason against Denver. But a year ago in the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers did have fourth quarter leads in three of those four games. But at the end of the day, they lost all four. And the most amazing thing is they led the majority of this first round series against Denver, a 20-point lead in game two, a 12-point lead in game one, a double-digit lead in all of these games, a halftime lead in all of these games. And the common denominator is that Darvin Ham failed to make the adjustments to get this team in a position to win four of seven games, or at the very least, push it to seven. You know, and for them to lose in five on the heels of losing in four a year ago, and again, 11 straight to Denver, 11 straight losses to Denver before finally finding a way to win one game and really forcing it to be a gentleman sweep, as they say. So with that said, I wanted to play for you some sound from the Darvin Ham post game and from Austin Reeves, because Reeves was supposed to be the third guy on this team, and he may still be. But again, a lot of questions about what are the complementary pieces going to look like for this team moving forward. So let's now hear from, for now, Lakers coach Darvin Ham.
Darvin, just how do you emotionally, mentally handle that, you know, kind of coming in a similar fashion as game two where you're in the lead and things happen? How do you handle that as a team?
It's tough. It's tough, man. You know, some unfortunate circumstances. A, getting hurt, you know, not having to leave the game per se, but just threw off his natural rotations, normal rotation. They make that run. You know, we've already challenged the call early in the game, trying to hang on to timeouts just in case we need to challenge again. We may have an extra. And, you know, it's one of those games, man. It's a hell of a team. The defending champs for a reason. I've been saying it the entire year, the entire series. They know how to gut out wins. They've been there before. But I couldn't be more proud of our crew. Despite everything that happened, obviously the series didn't go in our favor, start out the way we wanted it to, but to win that one at home, fight tooth and nail to try to get this one, our guys showed a lot of guts, a lot of character, and their resilience to continue to fight. But, you know, the intangibles, they got us again. You know, we missed some free throws, gave up some second chance points late. It is what it is. You just got to learn from it, grow from it, be better mentally, spiritually, and physically.
How do you square this last year and change, you know, where you make the push out of the All-Star break, you get to the conference finals, of course, lose to Denver, then this year, up and down, but you make the push late, and then to have it kind of end in similar fashion like this. How do you put all that together?
It's tough, man. You know, the completion of my second year in this seat, it's a lot. You know, just from the way the year started last year to us getting to the deadline, making the moves we made, trying to make a push on the fly, which we were able to do, fell short to the champs, same team. You know, try to maintain our core, some continuity in the summer, which we were able to do, and then, you know, the injury bug hit us and it just seemed like it wouldn't get off of us there for the first third, maybe half of the season. And, you know, once we start hitting rhythms, it seemed like every time we hit a rhythm, somebody, a key piece, would fall out of the lineup. But it is what it is, man. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself or ourselves. It's an unbelievable franchise to represent. Couldn't ask for a better governor, a better president of ops, and Rob Pelinka, you know, Jeannie Buss. But I've seen a lot in my first 2 years in this seat. So, I'll continue to work, get better, and control what I can control.
Darvin, you mentioned AD getting injured, and from training camp, he talked about wanting to play in all 82 games, and that was a thing that I think of the Milwaukee game in March where he gets a similar stinger and plays through it. What can you say about just him, you know, taking it seriously all year and having, you know, playing his best basketball this season, arguably in the playoffs, and then also playing it through that, even though his arm was kind of just dangling there for most of the second half?
Just trying to battle through and be there for his team. That's it. You know, the time he put into his body this past offseason in particular, and you mentioned it, all of the regular season games he played. I think it may be the most he's played in some time or ever, maybe. I don't know. But just him being the type of person he is, wanting to be there for his group and to do whatever is asked of him. And he represented that the entire season.
Darvin, after Murray hit the shot with like 4.5 seconds or so to go, what was the, I guess, you know, it's a scramble. What was the thinking on your end? And I'm unclear. Did you guys have a timeout?
No, we did not have a timeout.
Got it. So like, it was just a scramble play. Or, you know, I guess, I don't even know if Torian's attempts would have counted. Just you walk us through what you saw in that final sequence.
I mean, try to rush it up the floor, try to get into striking distance. And, you know, TP tried to get a good look. Felt like whoever that was that walked up under him, they're not going to call that call in that type of situation unless it's completely gross. But, you know, we tried to get a look up and just didn't work out.
And just as you look back at the year and obviously coming off the Western Conference Finals a year ago, and there were times, you know, you guys were one of the better teams in the league this year, weren't able to put it together. What would you point your finger to moving forward that this group needs to get to where it wants to be?
Stay healthy. Stay healthy. You take a lot of flack for your rotations and all of that, but rotations are secondary. The primary is health. And when you're losing, you start the season off without key pieces, and you lose some key pieces early. They come back and you lose some more key pieces, and a couple guys have been out 2, 3, 4 times during the course of the year. It's hard to build that continuity. You know, you have all these talented players all along your roster, but to have a set 9, 10 guys, and you know, you lose one, that's one thing, but to have 2, 3, 4 guys missing at different points and times is tough, you know, and all the while trying to manage a guy that's in his 21st season, another guy in AD that's in his 12th, you know, all the previous injury history he's been through. Health is as great as a wealth, and that's pretty much it. You got healthy players, you can figure the rest out.
Darvin, the series will say 4-1. We all know it was much closer than that. How do you process that, especially these two losses where you easily could have walked out of here with a win? How do you process that flying home?
You know, you just have to sleep on it, collect your thoughts. You don't ever want to speak from erratic emotion. So you just soak it all in, watch the game, see what you could have done better, and go from there and be better for it going forward. You know, it sucks to lose and to the same team. I'm happy we broke that ice and was able to get one. But overall, you know, we won a battle. They won the war. And we just got to figure out ways to get better from it.
Last one. Go ahead. How do you put in a capsule your 2 years as a head coach for this type of franchise, coaching LeBron and AD at this stage of their career, you being a first-time head coach with the scrutiny that comes with this? How do you capsulize all this tonight?
It's a great question. It's tough. I my mind's all over the place right now, so that's a great question, but maybe at some point later on I'll give you an answer. It's been a hell of a 2 years, though, I tell you that. Sitting in this seat, it's been a hell of a 2 years. A lot of good things that got done, but ultimately, you want to win that ultimate prize. I know what that feels like. I had that feeling a couple of times. So you want to do everything in your power to continue to feel this feeling we're feeling now, the feeling of defeat. And so, I'm going to control what I can control, continue to grow, and hopefully be a better coach for it.
Austin, just first on tonight, you hit a lot of big shots late, you know, hit the three to go up and, you know, trying to defend on the other end. What was that like for you, you know, coming through, but then watching Denver also converting and just the back and forth of that mentally?
Just thought it was high level basketball. And at the end of the day, they got the, you know, last shot to win it. Jamal hit a tough fadeaway over me. And yeah, it's tough. It's tough to think about right now. Obviously frustrated, but you know, it was a lot of high level basketball there towards the end, and pretty much this whole series.
I'm sure it's tough to answer a bigger picture question, but Did you learn anything about the composition of this team? Really going back to the Western Conference Finals last year, now this series, you know, make some progress, but they still win 4-1. As you, that you can think about going forward as a Laker?
Like just into stuff that we need to do better or like?
Take it, yeah, just however you want to take it. You as an individual, you as a team, moving forward.
Personally, in this moment, you know, I'm frustrated with myself, you know, not really playing well the first couple games and even into that game three. I wasn't good enough. You know, I hold myself to a high standard because I believe in myself. And those first couple games, I didn't do what I needed to do to help us, you know, win one of those two or two of those three. And yeah, I'll think about that all summer and you know, train to be better and try to come back and, like I said, be better next year.
Austin, I guess you and AD are two of the more significant players to be under contract. We know moving forward, and there's some options ahead for LeBron and D'Lo in particular as some of the more impactful players. Have you guys had any discussions about, even not necessarily post-game today, but about what the future of this team looks like and wanting to stay together and just kind of how do you view this group moving forward?
For me, I just really enjoy being around these guys. You could go down the list and, you know, everybody on our team is, you know, a joy to be around. I've spoken about it a billion times about, you know, my relationship with D'Lo off the court, or golf a lot together. And then obviously Bron and AD as well. They're, you know, I consider them my friends. So, as you know, as long as you know I can play alongside one of them, if there's anything I can do to, you know, help that be, you know, possible, that's what I'll do, because I believe in what we have. And I believe that, you know, with, you know, another, you know, summer of getting better and then preseason, you know, we could, you know, make some noise.
A couple of people brought up the idea of health as being kind of the one thing that really went against your favor this season. With that, do you think there's enough here to, you know, do what the Lakers are always looking to do in terms of win championships?
I mean, health is a part of the game. I don't think you'll ever see a team go through a full season and have no issues, no guys have time out. But I think that also, you know, build you together at the same time too. There was nights where Bron and AD were out, or just Bron, or just AD, or D'Lo, and you have to, you know, come closer to achieve winning. And you know, we did that multiple times this year. But yeah, I think, you know, fully healthy, you know, we have a really good squad. It just, you know, wasn't enough this year.
Austin, I know you don't like talking about your game and kind of individual stuff, but you had a big summer last summer. You entered the season with a lot of expectations, a lot of scrutiny, a lot of attention. How was this season for you, and how would you kind of assess your third year in the NBA overall?
Like you said, it was a long year, making the run into the Western Conference Finals and then playing for the USA team and the FIBA stuff, and then, you know, diving right back into it after that. There was a lot of up and downs this year. And, you know, one thing I'll say about myself is, you know, I'm never give up. You know, I think before game 15 this year, I was moved to the bench. You know, so there was a lot of things that, you know, happened this year that, you know, you had to be mentally tough to get through. You got to fight your way through it. And, you know, that's one thing I'll give myself credit for is, you know, I never folded. I never, you know, felt sorry for myself. Obviously, there's frustrations, but I woke up every single day and went to work and, you know, tried to get better and tried to help our team win. And that's all I care about is winning. And, you know, obviously there's things that, you know, I can always do better to help us win, but, you know, every single night I go out there on the court, you know, that's my main goal, is to win. And at the end of this year, obviously today, you know, I can say that, you know, that's what I did.
Back to tonight's game, how do you describe what you saw from AD in the third quarter? How scary was it, how playing through that injury, and how much that changed you guys? It seemed like that's when Denver got back right into it.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoke about it a billion times about how important AD is for us. You know, we have so much, you know, so many guys that are talented and can do many things, but without AD, we aren't anywhere close to what we, you know, were or want to be. You know, his presence offensively, his presence defensively, you know, I think more times than not gets overlooked. I don't know why, but what he does for us is incredible. And tonight, you know, when he went down, you know, first thing you want your brother to be okay. And then, you know, you could tell throughout the whole third quarter, fourth quarter, it was bothering him, but there wasn't anything that was going to keep him off the court. And that's, you tip your hat to a soldier like that. And, you know, I ain't got nothing but love and appreciation for him.
All right, that was Darvin Ham and Dawson Reeves. You know, listen, if the Lakers do decide to move on from Darvin Ham, they do have to decide what head coach is the best fit here. Again, since LeBron James has come to the Lakers, they have had Luke Walton as the head coach. Again, we kind of figured that wasn't going to work out. They brought in Frank Vogel. And again, listen, kudos and credit to Frank Vogel. He did lead them to a championship in the first season. And then they moved on to Darvin Ham. If they decide to move on from Ham, which I think that they will and should, the question is, what coach is going to come in here that's going to improve their chances? Again, Lakers assistant Phil Handy is the favorite. I think that's commonly thought of. Again, one of the best assistants in the league, one of the best player coaches in the league, and obviously has the respect of LeBron James. But you know, you this can't be a knee-jerk decision. Before they decide to move on from Ham, they really do need to have an idea of who's going to come in to be the head coach of this team. And then when that happens, and again, I think that'll happen, you know, whether it's this week or next week, it'll be during the postseason. And then they have to figure out, you know, what does this roster look like? I do think LeBron James coming back, as I mentioned before, just makes financial sense. It makes sense in terms of this is where he's planted his roots. I think he wants to retire here in Los Angeles. I think the Lakers would draft Bronny James, and that's a separate discussion if they should. But I do think LeBron James returns. I think Anthony Davis, of course, is back. And then at that point is, you know, okay, you got your big two. What do the complementary pieces look like? Do you go for a big three? Do you try to bring in that third star? Do you try to make a more complete, deep roster, which, again, they have not had that for some time? And to their credit, they really tried this season, but a lot of those guys were hurt. I mean, Gabe Vincent missed basically like all but 10 games this season, and Jared Vanderbilt got hurt, and Christian Wood got hurt, and then Jackson Hayes got hurt. And so they did try to put together a deep team this season. They just simply weren't healthy. Now, the big two were healthy, but the complementary pieces weren't. But I think when you look at the timeline here for the Lakers, it's A, the decision on the head coach, B, getting that commitment from LeBron to come back, and then at that point, putting the complementary pieces around the big two to put them in a position where they can contend for at least one more championship with LeBron and with Anthony Davis. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.